You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A key part of the Affordable Care Act was expanding Medicaid. In our state, it's known as Healthy Michigan, and it's meant health care coverage for over 600,000 people. But if you wind up in the criminal justice system, even if it's just pretrial detention and you're facing charges, Medicaid benefits turn off like the flip of a switch. University of Michigan researchers believe excluding inmates from Medicaid is driving up costs and hurting inmate health. Dr. Tyler Winkleman is one of those researchers, and he's with us now bringing a physician's perspective. Now, doctor, a criminal record does not disqualify someone from Medicaid, right?
That's correct. It only disqualifies you while you're currently incarcerated.
So prisoners cannot access Medicaid. And why is that?
When Medicaid was passed back in 1965, part of the language in the legislation prevented inmates from receiving any Medicaid payment while they were incarcerated. So this has been in place for several decades now.
What was the thinking behind that?
Two things. First, when Social Security was initially passed in 1935, this population was excluded. And because Medicaid was amended to the Social Security Act, that provision sort of made its way into Medicaid policy. And the other issue that people were concerned about was that if you provided health care benefits while someone was incarcerated, then you may have an incentive to lock people up to give them treatment rather than providing treatment while they're in the community.
So here we are, 2017, and we have it that unless an inmate is hospitalized for 24 hours or longer, who pays for their medical costs?
All of the health care costs while an individual is in jail is paid for by county governments, and all of the health care costs in state prison are paid for by the state government.
Do we have any idea what that price tag is?
Our most recent estimates are from 2011, and the total cost for people in prison was about $7.7 billion. The amount in jail is not known, but there are far more people in jail than there are in prison.
So we can kind of just estimate that it's a skyrocketing price tag as we see our prison populations go up. And if you look at the health of people who are involved in the justice system, people who are behind bars, how does it compare with the general population?
There's no doubt that individuals who are in jail or in prison have much, much higher rates of mental health conditions, much higher rates of substance use disorders, particularly during this epidemic of opioids that we're seeing across the country. And they also have higher rates of chronic conditions like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes.
And tuberculosis among inmates and hepatitis, HIV, they're all much higher than the general population.
Yes, absolutely. The rates of infectious disease in jails and prison are a huge problem. And it's becoming an even murkier situation, particularly for illnesses like hepatitis C, where we now have wonderful treatments that can eradicate the disease. Unfortunately, they're very expensive, and county and state governments don't want to pay for those medications while someone is incarcerated. And so often individuals who have a now treatable condition end up not receiving treatment.
If these problems are not addressed while people are behind bars, what happens when they get out?
Accessing health care after someone leaves jail or prison is very challenging. With the advent of the Affordable Care Act and with Healthy Michigan in the state of Michigan, people coming out of prison are now getting enrolled in health insurance. But whether that's actually translating to making an appointment and seeing a physician and getting some of these issues addressed is less clear.
So, doctor, we know Medicaid coverage could address a lot of the kind of problems that we've been talking about. Do we know if the states and counties are taking care of these problems?
We know that states and counties are trying their best to get people enrolled in Medicaid. But once someone has health insurance coverage, it's really quite variable on whether they receive assistance in getting connected to the care they need to take care of these issues.
Why do you think it's important that we as a society and as a country change this exclusion, the Medicaid inmate exclusion policy that dates back all these decades?
Individuals who are involved in the justice system are by far some of the sickest patients that we take care of. And right now, because they're unable to access their Medicaid benefits while they're incarcerated, they're both receiving suboptimal care and they're not receiving appropriate services to transition them to healthcare in the community. So first of all, the repealing the Medicaid exclusion would improve health for this population. It would also dramatically lower the costs that counties and states are paying for this health care. And third, we have some evidence that getting appropriate health care to these individuals can lower their likelihood of ending up in prison or jail again.
So the recidivism question comes in.
Absolutely.
There was a recent investigation that you may have heard about, Dr. Winkleman. It was done by Detroit television station WDIV about an inmate in the Macomb County Jail. She was serving a 2-week sentence for driving on a suspended license, 8 months pregnant. And she told jail staff several times she was having labor pains. She claims jail staff called her a liar and, in her words, told her to knock my crap off or they could put another charge on me. She was finally moved after a couple of days to a cell in the infirmary wing of the jail, but she never got to a hospital. She wound up having her baby on the floor of the cell with no doctor in attendance. And the Macomb County Sheriff says his staff handled the situation properly. What does this story tell us about the kind of health care that inmates are getting in our jails and prisons?
I think this situation raises a couple of key issues. First, we know that women in the justice system are an increasingly common demographic. So many of the unique health conditions and reproductive issues that women have to face are rather new issues that jails and prisons are having to deal with. Because they're unable to use their Medicaid benefits while they're in prison or jail, they often lack the appropriate care that they need. There was a report within the last couple of years that showed that Medicaid pays for about 50% of the births in the United States. You can imagine that having that benefit removed while you're incarcerated can really impact the care you receive while you're pregnant.
There are those who will ask this question, why should Medicaid be available to people who have committed a crime? I mean, if it's a benefit, why should they keep it when they've lost other privileges?
I hear that question a lot, and the answer is that whether an individual has health insurance or not, they're able to access expensive health care services like the emergency department, like the hospital. My view is that using health care dollars in a smart way through Medicaid can improve the health of these individuals, can reduce the reliance on expensive health care services, and is just a more humane way to help people get back on their feet, back into an employment, and become contributing members of our communities.
So your voice is among those calling for repealing this Medicaid inmate exclusion policies and having states and counties seek additional federal fund matching funds for inmate health care. But this comes at a time when the Trump administration is all about shifting that kind of spending to the states and repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act. How would your proposal square with the realities of Washington under President Trump?
Here is a policy change that both Republicans and Democrats could agree with. And the reason I say that is because this is a policy that could potentially expand health coverage options to a vulnerable population that traditionally has received inadequate care, while at the same time giving states the flexibility that they want in addressing the important public health issues in their state or in their county. Removing this policy would allow states to use Medicaid dollars in a way that they see fit. And if they believe that this is a smart investment, they would be able to do that.
Is there anything afoot that you're aware of on Capitol Hill right now to repeal this Medicaid exclusion policy?
There have been, just in the last couple of weeks, our article published on The Conversation calls by the National Association of Counties to repeal this piece of legislation. There has been a New York Times editorial. So certainly there are calls mounting. Senator Franken from Minnesota has been interested in at least repealing the Medicaid exclusion for individuals who are pretrial, who have not been convicted of a crime, and were simply too poor to pay their bail and make their way out of jail.
Yes, we mentioned that at the beginning, but it's worth mentioning. This applies to people who are just in pretrial detention, who are facing charges, who have not been convicted.
That's right. And not often, but sometimes people can even be sitting in jail for several months awaiting trial. And so you have an individual who's poor, unable to post their $10 bail, sits in jail for 3 months, doesn't get the mental health treatment they need, decompensates, and then has their charges dropped 3 months later. They leave, left jail without receiving appropriate treatment, enter the community, and then commit another crime because they, you know, didn't have access to the services that they needed.
Well, much to think about, and you will find Dr. Winkleman's piece on inmates being excluded from Medicaid by going to theconversation.com. Dr. Tyler Winkleman is a physician and a researcher with the University of Michigan. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you.
You're listening to Stateside, and if you missed any part of today's show, it is very easy to find it on our podcast. Just go to michiganradio.org and click on podcast, and you'll find the link.